Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and, of course, Jeff Cross with you this afternoon. And
she called me Jeff Cross.
I'm sorry.
That's so bad.
Howard
Cross. Oh, man. Now I'm a big white guy.
I'm sorry. Howard Cross with you this afternoon here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Tuesday.
I'm writing it down.
I'm trying to think, what do people associate Tuesday with? Taco Tuesday?
That's my house, yes, Taco Tuesday.
My kids
love tacos.
Tacos on Tuesdays, right?
Yep.
I've got a phenomenal taco truck, and that's what it's called. It's called the Taco Truck, and it parks its truck right outside my apartment every Tuesday night.
That's awesome.
I'm all over it. We had an opportunity, of course, kind of a different day today. Players, head coach Tom Coughlin made themselves available to the media right now, and then there's a quick break, and then practice starts at 2:30 this afternoon.
Yep.
So pretty excited about it. Phone lines are open. Obviously, this is a show for Giants fans, 201-939-4513. The phone number if you want to get in. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. If you've got a question or a comment, by all means, please share it with us. If you've got a question for Howard, not Jeff, Howard, then I will pass it along to him as well.
Ouch.
But first and foremost, let's talk about the fact that unfortunately the offense not up to speed. Pretty interesting. Head coach Tom Coughlin addressed the media today, and he said this team is running out of time. There has to be a sense of urgency heading into preseason game number 3 against the Jets to get a good gauge on if this team is going to be ready for regular season game 1 against the Dallas Cowboys. Your thoughts on Tom Coughlin's comments today?
Well, I think, Coach Coughlin's looking at it from the standpoint, how can he get his guys going, how they can get everything, the execution to pick up, the speed of everything to pick up. It's a tough thing to negotiate with guys when they think that everything's okay and things are going to be all right and it's going to come together. When you hear those terms, and all we need to do is, those are bad terms. When you hear guys saying things like that, that means they're kind of accepting where they are instead of fighting to get to the place they need to be. Expectations are high for the offense, for the defense even, and they got to figure out a way to pull it together quickly.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get on. I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm sure phone lines lit up like this for you yesterday. You're going to be hosting all week on Big Blue Kickoff Live, right? I'm back with you on Thursday.
Yes, yes, you are.
I mean, it's just like we don't even have to throw out like a hot show topic to get phone calls. I mean, it's just the fact that that Howard Cross is on the program. The phone lines just absolutely blow up.
That's awesome. I wish you'd call my wife and tell me nice things like that about me. That's awesome.
So let's head right out to them. I mean, I've got a slew of questions for you, but obviously this is a show for Big Blue Nation. Mm-hmm. So let's go to line one. Richard calling in from London, from across the pond, man.
That's awesome.
Richard, start us off today.
Hey, guys. Thank you, Michael. Long-time listener. First-time caller. Love you guys' show.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks so much. Okay, so two questions. Well, one point I just want to make quickly is that I've read a lot of things about the passing game being a bit slow and everything else. But, it's like, come on, guys. We're not going to really see the full effect of the passing game until we've got the three of those guys on the field, Randall, Beckham Jr. I just think, we're not going to really see the full fruition of the work. What's been going in the preseason, in the off season, stuff like that, until we see those three on the field. So I think people need to stop panicking and just wait and see. I think the guys are going to be great for the opening game against the Cowboys. But anyway, my question to you guys was, in your opinion, have we got a realistic chance of winning the division? That's my question. I want to hear what you guys have to say.
The question is there a real chance to win the division? Now, let's look at it from the best point that I see. I'd say Dallas took a definite step back, with DeMarco Murray leaving. I don't think they realized what they did to themselves by taking DeMarco Murray out of that offense. Now they have more of a running back by committee. That doesn't always work. And you see some of the evidence of that in the preseason as their guys are not quite getting the job done in the running game. That's going to hurt them a little bit because once their running game disappears, you can start doubling Dez Bryant and everybody and slow them down. As far as the Eagles go, yeah, they trade away McCoy, who is a dynamic running back, one of the best backs in the league, and they pick up Murray. Now, everybody would say that's a even trade, but actually it isn't. Murray ran from the backfield with the Cowboys, and he never got touched until he got to the second level, sometimes the third level. McCoy was dodging the first guy in the backfield and then making his break and getting upfield. I'm not sure how many backs in the league have the ability to dodge the first man in the backfield. That's not something that guys are used to seeing or doing, so he's going to have to figure out a way to overcome that. The Redskins, they're the Redskins. I don't have anything to say about them. So right now, I think they
got some issues going on with RG3.
Issues with everybody. I think the Cowboys have the lead still because of that offensive line. I think the Giants and the Eagles are kind of tied for that second spot. But anything could happen. I mean, again, if the Cowboys can't get that running game going, it's up to Romo and that wonderful bad back of his to see if he can make it through the season.
It's interesting you say that. I'm really big on the Philadelphia Eagles this year, and I know it's a big if, and that's, mm-hmm, of course, it comes down to Sam Bradford. Mm-hmm. But I think the weapons that they've added on the offensive side of the ball, the way that Chip Kelly runs that offense, mm-hmm, the addition of DeMarco Murray. Keep in mind, you've got DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, who made his way over to Philadelphia, mm-hmm, from the San Diego Chargers, mm-hmm, and then Darren Sproles is their number three running back on that roster. I mean, that's just ridiculous to me that he's a number three on a team. I think that Zach Ertz, once he gets healthy, he's got an issue with his groin, but, mm-hmm, you got Ertz and Brent Celek.
Okay.
I just, that defense has improved. For me, I'm more worried about Philadelphia in this division than any other team.
I'm not as worried about them as you are because I realize that the number one thing that made that running game so powerful was the thought that the quarterback may keep the ball and go out the edge with it. And that made that slow down the pass rush. That caused you to hesitate when you were looking at the back. You couldn't keep your eye fully focused on the back because the quarterback may not run for a touchdown, but he may get 7 or 8 yards and keep a drive alive. So
you don't think he'll do that with Sam Bradford because of his knees,
Sam Bradford
knee injuries
is not going anywhere.
He's Terrell Suggs put the warning out. He put the warning out this past week, did he not?
I saw it happen to him. I saw it happen to, I think, somebody in the Redskins game. I saw it. Whoever's been running the option, I've seen every quarterback who's run the option get hit in the preseason. So I think the league has caught on to the option thing. So it's going to be a great adjustment for them.
I just got some text messages from Paul Dottino. Again, while we're hosting here, the players are being made available to the media. A few things to take note. Reuben Randall says that he needs to warm up. As soon as he warms up, his knee has been feeling a lot better. He has some big expectations. He wants to play against the Jets. Mm-hmm. Obviously, nothing's been determined yet, but he's hoping that he's going to play preseason game number 3. James Jones, who I'm really excited about this signing. I don't know if he's going to make the team or not, but I'm glad that he's been a part of this mix. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a big fan. He says that he feels really good about the playbook. Keep in mind, he knows Ben McAdoo's system, mm-hmm, from his time in Green Bay. And Collins says that his knee is feeling fine, that actually in this time that he hasn't been on the football field, he's actually been studying a lot with the coaches. Just a few things that the players are communicating
like
to the media.
Breaking news. Right?
Yeah, I mean, no breaking
I like
news,
that.
But just,
I like that.
Paul Dottino took the time to text us, so yep. I might as well share the information.
Absolutely.
201-939-4513. Let's go to line 2. Carlos is calling in. He wants to talk about the wide receivers. Carlos, you're on.
Good evening. Good evening. How y'all doing?
Very good, Carlos. How are you?
I'm great. So I want to talk about the wide receivers. Now, you heard about Jordy Nelson, the big wide receiver out of Green Bay. He tore his ACL. He's out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you made a point about, what's his face? James Jones.
Yep.
He used to be a Packer, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, I think somebody else said this last show that maybe we would trade them, but he said a third-round pick. I think that's just outrageous. I don't even know if James Jones would make the roster.
Oh.
But, like, I think there's a possibility that we could trade him.
I want to be totally honest with you, and I love James Jones. He's a nice veteran, complimentary receiver. But there hasn't been a soul who really was – he was out on the market up until like a week before training camp. So that kind of diminishes the idea of a trade. The trade talk came from a fan yesterday. I can't remember the name of the fan, but the fan was like, well, it'd be great if we could trade him back to the Packers for maybe a third-round pick. And then we immediately shut him down and explained to him that, like, okay, yeah. we have a player out there that's been out there for the entire time, and he didn't get signed until a week before camp. There is not really a trade value for him right now. There are probably other receivers out there that are, you know, Randy Moss made a joke that he wanted to come back. So you got all kind of weird things out there like that.
I've actually looked at the list, and Carlos, thank you for the phone call. I've actually looked at the list, and I did yesterday, for the free agent wide receivers, like Donnie Avery, Jarrell Jernigan.
Yes.
There's a number of guys that are out there. I'd say maybe about 10 guys that are out there, but nobody that is even going to come close to Jordy Nelson. I don't even think Randall Cobb or Devontae Adams is going to come close to Jordy Nelson. I think it's a huge loss for the Green Bay Packers. But it's next man up. They got to step up from within. Also, keep an eye on their tight end, Rodgers.
Okay.
Have you seen him play? This is his second year. And I think he's going to be a real big part of this offense moving forward, especially in the red zone this year for the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers, keep an eye on him. He's a deep sleeper in fantasy.
I think Packers have a lot of good players on their team from an offensive standpoint. I think that Lacy's going to step it up another notch.
And they utilize him a lot in the passing game, Howard.
Yeah, and he's going to cause a lot of problems on the edge, you know, getting the ball in space. You don't want to have to tackle that big guy out in the area and by the sideline, so that's going to be a problem. I think that, you know, the tight end will be a big factor, but losing Jordy Nelson loses that you know, first receiver, the one that everyone has to keep an eye on. Now you can spread it around, and then until Aaron Rodgers picks his new guy, basically throwing the ball, they can spread it around.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Still getting text messages from Paul DeTina, who's outside speaking to the media. This is pretty interesting. Who's speaking to the players. The players are speaking to the media, obviously. Cruz says that the trainers are holding him out because of the calf. They just want to be extra careful with him. So not sure. I don't think it looks like Victor Cruz is going to play in preseason game number 3 against the Jets. Time will tell, but he will not practice today. But also, this is interesting. He told the media that him and Odell felt that the Jacksonville Jaguars were coming after Odell Beckham Jr. and this is interesting, Howard, because Odell just, like, blew up last year. Do you know what I mean? I mean, just absolutely blew up last year, that now he's kind of a target. Don't you think he's a target for a lot of these other teams?
He is not a target. I think that, you know.
So then what's Victor Cruz talking about?
I think that, you know, players and guys don't realize that, you know, think of the great, great players in history. Think of, you know, guys like Jerry Rice. Think of Reggie White. Think of all the great, great players in history. When Jerry Rice was great, when he was phenomenal, being the best receiver in the league, he got doubled. Guys were trying to take shots at him. They were doing everything they could to get after him, to try to change his mode or get him out of what he's doing. Didn't matter. He kept going. Calvin Johnson today gets doubled and triple teamed. If you're that quality of player, if you're that caliber of guy, you're supposed to be doubled. You're supposed to have guys coming to take that extra nudge at you, trying to get you to pay attention to them. Your objective is to make them even more afraid. Your objective constantly is to make them back off. And if you have the attitude that, hey, look, they're trying to take a shot at me, then you're playing into what they want you to fear. And that's, hey, there's going to be some contact. And everyone knows that there's not really going to be that big contact. And the reason why, you can't afford to do it but 2 or 3 times, and they'll have you out for 4 games.
This is a tweet, by the way. You can tweet us, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Easy. He says, Howard, do you think that the two-way tight ends are becoming extinct, given that there are less power running teams in the NFL and college ranks?
I think that the spread offense in college football has kind of taken away from the power tight ends. I mean, with outside of teams like Stanford that runs a traditional offense, like a Florida State and even Alabama, you see more and more teams going to the spread offense, trying to go as – basically, they run hurry up the entire game. And what coaches are doing, I think I spoke briefly about this yesterday, coaches like Coach Saban, they're starting to recruit kids that can play defense regardless of who's on the field, regardless of what play you're called, regardless of what speed you're playing. They don't have to, like, continuously substitute kids in to play against these guys. So a crop of kids are going to start to come out, especially in the SEC, that are going to be football players, they're going to be four-down players. This evolution of the spread offense has basically turned the clock back on defense, and you're going to start seeing defensive players that can play and never leave the field.
In looking ahead, you know, the wise guys in Vegas had at one point in time 9-2 favorite for Green Bay and Seattle to come out of the NFC and possibly represent the NFC and win the Super Bowl this year. And of course, out of the AFC, the Patriots are still heavily favored. The Colts are heavily favored. I'm looking at that Colts offense, Howard. It's ridiculous. They bring over Andre Johnson. They've got Dante Moncrief, T.Y. Hilton. They bring in Frank Gore. And they're one of those teams that still have that two tight end set with Colby Fleener and Dwayne Allen. How's it going to be with all those? And they drafted Philip Dorsett. They're going to put him in the slot position, fastest guy in the combine last year. How's anyone going to be able to stop that offense with Andrew Luck?
It's going to be hard because Andrew Luck is the whole team from an offensive standpoint. All those weapons, you know, his main concern mostly is his offensive line. And can they hold up in front of him, give him time to hand the ball off, give him time to throw the ball, and you know, the short passes. Going to be good. The deep pass is going to be good. Two tight ends is supposed to be great. But the offensive line itself is what he needs and what he's going to have to figure out how he's going to be able to take that on.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Chris, line three, calling in from New Jersey. He wants to talk about the Giants defense. Chris, welcome.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Chris.
Great show. Question about the defense. Actually, just a comment and then a question for Howard. Okay. The comment is, you know, considering we really don't know what we have with this pass rush yet and the banged-up secondary, pretty much playing it vanilla, you know, Spags is here in the preseason, I'm expecting a lot of different looks coming that first week of the season against the Cowboys, whether it might be even showing looks of like a 3-4, standing up Kennard and Moore on the outside, or maybe even having all four linemen on third down standing up in a two-point stance versus, you know, normal 3-4 or three-point stance. You see that as well? A lot of stuff that's going to be not shown right now, but we're going to see stuff that first game that Spags is going to have to be really creative considering what the defense looks like right now.
Well, I think for most of the fans, you're looking at it. What you've seen is the defense is playing pretty decent against the pass. The defensive front is. They're getting a lot of sacks. They're hitting the quarterback a lot. They're getting to him. That's something that everybody was worried about. Where is the production going to come from the pass rush? That's not really been the concern. The concern is getting two safeties that are going to be able to get in there and manage what's going on. What you see with the safeties, they make a lot of tackles. I think we said this yesterday. Making tackles means you're not defending the pass in the aspect of you're not knocking the ball down. So when you see safeties breaking up passes, that means they're kind of closer and they know what's going on. When you see them making tackles, that means they're laying back and making sure guys don't run by them.
When you
get a closer or a better understanding of what you're doing, they'll start to get closer and closer to those receivers, and they'll start to make more and more plays. As for, you know, the defensive line, the linebackers and what Spags is going to do, Spags historically has been a pressure guy coming from the secondary, you know, bringing safeties, sometimes corners, if you have a good corner guy who can rush. And that kind of throws things out of whack. But the time that he was here, he had, you know, a great front. He had Strahan. He had Tuck. He had Osi. He had all these guys. So, you know, having those little exotic looks didn't really hurt you as bad because one of those guys was going to get there, if not that safety or that corner.
Chris, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. I think he may have had another call. Sorry. Please, by all means, please call back 201-939-4513. In regard to the safety position, I know a really big hit that Bennett Jackson went down because he's had really a great camp to the point where this coaching staff was looking at him to possibly be one of the starting safeties and as well have him play that nickel corner position.
Okay.
So a tremendous loss, and our heart goes out to him because obviously, you know, he's coming off of microfracture surgery. I think it's going to be a long recovery process for him. But nonetheless, coming into the season, the question was posed, all right, who do you think the starting safeties are going to be? And I said Nat Burhe and Landon Collins. Now, again, Landon Collins spoke to the media today. He said his knee's feeling fine, just being very precautious here, wants to take it easy and spending a lot of time in the books. And that Burhe is going to practice today. Now, it's going to be limited. Now, how much is he going to practice? We don't know. But head coach Tom Coughlin said that he is going to practice if it's individual drills or whatever the case. But, I mean, I'm just curious. Your thoughts going in, did you feel that it was going to be Collins and Burhe? Did you have a how big of a loss is Bennett Jackson? How concerned should Giants fans be right now, even though going in a number of people considered it the job for Nat Burhey and Landon Collins, who are still somewhat healthy and could start week one.
I think all things considered, you know, making everybody healthy. Let's make everybody healthy. The entire safety group, no one's hurt, no one's anything. The problem that I kind of see with the group, and it's not – it's just me because the way I'm looking at them, is that they're all heavy run guys. They love to come in and play in the run. So they're all the traditional, what we would call the strong safety position. The free guy, the guy that's going to be the deep guy most of the game, the guy that's going to be the guy directing traffic, I'm not sure which guy can step up and do that. And that's why you see guys like even Jackson when he was playing, he was making a lot of tackles, but he wasn't breaking up passes. What I was saying before is that one of these guys is going to have to figure out how to play that free position, how to be back there deep, how to direct traffic, how not to let the ball get behind him, but you're not letting it get behind you because you're always in position when that pass is thrown. And there's going to be some fast guys we're going to go up against this year as a defense. So we got to figure out how to do that. Now, I'm concerned, not concerned from the standpoint of who's going to play and whatever. I'm concerned with let's see who's going to be the guy to step up and play that spot. That's the captain of the defense, almost the guy who plays the free safety spot, the guy who can direct everything. And right now we got some hitters. We got some guys that can, you know, flat out lay you out. But I want to see that guy step up. I want to see if it's going to be Burhey, if it's going to be Collins, if it's going to be Cooper Taylor. I'm not sure who's going to be the guy who's going to be the deep guy, because you can't be nosy when you're the deep guy. You can't be the guy sneaking up, oh, play action. Up, all of a sudden someone's behind you. So you have to be the guy that can direct traffic and understand where you're going to be and where the help is.
Again, you could hit us up on Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. That's how we find your tweets. This is from Melissa. Needs some feedback on the running back situation. Jennings is slipping, ? Darkwa making the 53, ?
Well, Jennings, I don't think it's slipping. I don't think he's had many opportunities. I think he may have run the ball in two games, three times, four times, tops. I think they're throwing the ball, trying to get it to their receivers early, trying to get that continuity established in the passing game. I think they expect the running game to be there. When they do run later in the game, you see a lot of Darkwa. You see some Williams as well. They do a good job. I think Darkwa, who came in, Orleans Darkwa, who came in, who was brought in to be a special teams kind of guy, has surprised some guys. And now, all of a sudden, he's trying to fight for a spot to get some carries during the game. With him, Williams and Jennings, I think, don't forget about Vereen, you got three or four backs that can actually make a big difference. And Darkwa will be there because he can do what? Play special teams. And he'll play on every team. He'll play on the punt team. He'll play on the punt return team. He'll play on the kickoff team, the kickoff return team. He's going to be on the field all the time. And in the case if someone gets hurt, he can carry the rock.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks, Howard Cross, and, of course, you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to line four. We've got Big Ed calling in. Big Ed, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Big Ed.
Good to hear you. Hey. Nice. How you doing, Mr. Cross? Mr. Cross.
I can't complain, baby. Tell me about it.
Hey, this is Big Ed from Maryland. You're one and only. Nobody else but me. Coming out to say, you know what? Like UFC, I just want us to get healthy, and we can make all kinds of runs. Just want us to get the safety position under control. Is there another person that we could possibly look at to possibly bring in if it keeps going this way?
You know,
and who would you consider that to be?
You know, Big Ed, it's a great question. This was a conversation I was having with Paul Dottino, and thank you for the phone call. This is a conversation I was having with Paul Dottino before media availability. And that is because, you know, here you've got a Green Bay Packers team that's down not just any wide receiver, but Jordy Nelson. So, you know, you've got a Giants team who are pretty deep at the wide receiver position. So, you know, and a lot of times when that happens, one team's in need, the other is as well. You make a phone call and you find out. And I'm sure that there are teams out there that are really deep at the safety position that come that time where they're going to have to trim that roster down to 53, you know, you've got those position coaches that are in there that are lobbying and making a good argument as to why they should keep this player on the roster. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, you've got to let him go. I mean, you're not going to be too surprised if a safety comes in here after last cuts down to 53. Or will you be?
I will be kind of surprised. I mean, they got a lot of able bodies here, so it's going to be interesting to see. If I'm looking at a team and if I'm looking at one of the teams in the league that I think You know, I look at a Seattle team that may have an extra young safety because they do a great job drafting guys and bringing guys in. Mm-hmm. I see if they have somebody out there that they would be interested in, you know, a switch, as you guys are saying. I don't think that's what they're going to do. Another team I would look at that I think has a lot of good safeties on it is a team we played the first preseason game, Cincinnati. Cincinnati has – they're extremely deep in their secondary. They have a lot of safeties playing, a lot of kids that, you know, really knew what to do, even though they didn't look that great.
I was going to say
night.
You watched the game last
yeah,
night.
Yeah, but they still, you know, they were still in the right place. They were still getting to the guys and stuff. So, you know, two teams that you look at that have, you know, good safety play, usually that's what I would look at. But I think they got enough able bodies. I don't think you just give up on the guys you have. I think you just got to coach them up and see, you know, how they adjust to it. If they were slow, if they were, like, slow-footed, not, you know, not having ball skills in the air, then I'm like, okay, we need to bring somebody in. I don't think that's really the case. I think they're just learning a new system. I mean, you go from, you know, Perry Fuel system to SPAC system. It's a different system, a different coaching style, and a different, you know, different thing. The league's changed a lot. The actual live practice part of practice isn't there. So a lot of this stuff is I need to be able to, you know, transfer it from the notebook to the field and at full speed. And that's a little tougher than it sounds.
I look at the depth at the running back position here mm-hmm. with Hunt and Darkwa. I don't think both remain on this roster. I think one of them is going to be cut. I look at the depth at the wide receiver position mm-hmm. on this roster. I think there's a lot of competition, a lot of depth. And these are guys that I think other teams that are shallow at those positions, I think they're good. I think so. And I say that.
Give me a team that will take a receiver right now.
Well, I don't. So I mean,
that's what I'm saying. There's no everybody. You have to remember at this point in the season, rosters are full. We're one of the only teams that have the Giants are one of the only teams that have that real question mark at a position that's. But they have a lot of players.
Well, I don't have everybody's roster in front of me. I can't mm-hmm. sit here and tell you which teams are you know, maybe they're not shallow at the wide receiver position, but I do believe that one of these guys that's not going to make the Giants roster is more talented than somebody else's guy on their roster. But anyway, this is what I'm saying is that the situation that the Giants find themselves at the running back and wide receiver position, I'm sure other teams in the NFL are in that position at the offensive line and safety position. And so I think it's going to be interesting once those, you know, final 53 roster is cut. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be on Twitter like every 5 minutes, just seeing, you know, if the Giants bring anybody in, and I don't think it would surprise me. Let's go to line one. John's calling in from Jacksonville. John, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Anita, Howard, my big longtime fan. How you doing?
Oh, doing very good, John. How are we doing?
All right, I got a question. Being we're running McAdoo's offense. Mm-hmm. And we are talented in halfback. Don't you think it's time, let me put it this way, that we shouldn't have a fullback, keep those two talented halfbacks we got, and, you know, I like the guy, but I think his time is over of the fullback, and get rid of Hynoski and keep the halfbacks?
Well, this is what I would say to you on that. And I know I see the tight ends coming out of the backfield now and doing some blocking as well. And every team, that's the constant question is, do you need a fullback? There will be some times in third and one in goal line situations where you're going to need a real live back that's going to be the fullback that's going to be able to get that block for you coming across the line to get that first guy. He's going to be a short, stubby, big guy that's going to lay the hammer on somebody and make that play. Unfortunately, in every game, you have a bunch of short yardage plays and you have a bunch of goal line plays. If you're fortunate, that's what you're doing. You're trying to keep it in short and goal. And late in the game, when you really want to run the ball, when you really want to pound it, if you do have a lead, you need that guy again. So you can eliminate that guy, take him off your team, and then that'll be the two spots on your team that you'll be lacking. You won't be able to quote-unquote close a team out by running the clock out because you don't have anybody to keep lead blocking and protect the back when he's taking the ball.
Let me ask you about the tight end position. I know Larry Donnell's been dealing with an Achilles injury mm-hmm. and trying to get back up to form, but also the coaches have been really big on Fells. Now because this offensive line is struggling, mm-hmm. You know, one would think that, well, the reason Fells is a better blocking tight end than mm-hmm. Larry Donnell. So, I mean, how important do you think that is in regard to Larry Donnell becoming a more well-rounded tight end so he can get more playing time as opposed to Fells, where the coaches have said he's the better blocking tight end and this offensive line is in need of help, so therefore anticipating Fells to get more time?
I think that Fells kind of fits the old Howard Cross role. You do kind of what they ask you to do. You don't go out with this high expectation of, like, I'm going to catch 50, 60, 70 balls this year. We have a guy for that, so that guy's going to catch all the passes. And I think he's willing to block. I mean, and I think that's probably the biggest thing. Not that Larry Donnell isn't willing to block, but you have a guy that's willing to do it because he knows that's where his place is right now. And I think that makes him extremely valuable. That's him one-on-one with a defensive end. That opens up the field for a lot of other, you know, combination blocks down the side with your offensive line. If he isn't good enough, or if he isn't strong enough, or if he doesn't want to do that, that kind of cripples your running game. I've seen Fells come out of the backfield blocking like a fullback. I've seen him do a lot of different things. That's kind of like the most important thing you can do if you're that tight end. If you're not the guy who's going to catch the 60 to 70 passes like Donnell's going to, he's going to catch 60 or 70 passes. He could potentially be the leading receiver or the top three receivers for your fantasy thing for a tight end. That's how many passes this kid's going to catch. But can you count on him when it's third and one? Can you count on him when it's goal line? Because if he doesn't score and he gets stopped at the five, then you got four plays from there.
Let me ask you something, Howard. Don't you – I mean, this isn't a Larry Donnell thing. I think this is a across-the-league thing, that, mm-hmm. that the tight end position I just don't find that enough guys in the NFL pride themselves on being, like, an all-around tight end. They don't – it's like – they don't want to block. They don't pride themselves. And I'm not being stereotypical. I'm saying that there's just a percentage, and I feel like each and every year it's getting larger and larger. And I don't know if that's because the Jimmy Grahams of the world and the Tony Gonzalez's of the world. So the tight end position has become a lot more sexier with these guys. And so that is the goal for a number of young men that are coming out that are like, okay, I'll play tight end because I want to be like Jimmy Graham, because I want to be like Tony Gonzalez, as opposed to really coming in and priding themselves and saying, you know what, I'm 50% of the time going to be asked to block as well, and I want to make sure that my blocking skills are top notch. You just don't see that anymore, right?
Well, I go back to Jay Novacek. He was one of the first guys I saw like that. He was a great tight end, but he didn't really block. He just kind of got in the way on the back end. And then, you know, there were guys like myself and Big Green and stuff. We were blocking and mashing guys. Bavaro, of course. It just different eras, different times. I think most of the tight ends that you see today, the big-time receivers, they were either small forwards or shooting guards. They weren't going to make it in the NBA. Or they're guys who are receivers that kind of ate or lifted themselves into the tight end position. So you have two groups of guys. So all of a sudden you're 6'4". You're 240 pounds. You're 4'4" that you were running before it's become a 4'6". You're a great tight end. You're not a great receiver anymore. You're a great tight end. As far as the blocking part of it goes, it's not that they're not trying to block. It's not that they're not wanting to block. But until you get to the 250 plus range and you're ready to really mix it up with a guy, You got to be special, and you got to want to do it. It's not that they don't want to do it. A lot of these guys go out there hoping to do it. But if you're not, you know, there's not a lot of, for no better term, it's around the league. There's not a lot of contact. If you don't learn it in college, they're not going to be able to teach it to you when you get to the NFL.
Are you intrigued by Funchess in Carolina and how that's all going to play out? Calvin Benjamin out with an ACL for the Carolina Panthers. Funchess now, a lot of people eye on him in regard to, because Michigan – you know, they used him kind of as a tight end, kind mm-hmm. of as a wide receiver. Now he takes that next step into the NFL. That's just a very intriguing – he's a very intriguing player for me this season.
I think that, you know, with Cam Newton down there needing guys in close proximity to him to get the ball to him. He loves to throw it deep, but you need a guy like a Benjamin down there to catch the ball deep. So he's going to have another really big receiver, quote-unquote, tight end guy down there. So you're going to have two tight ends that are going to be dominating the game for that receiving corps. Now, there'll be some receivers that are going to, you know, catch the ancillary pass every once in a while on the outside or something, but they're going to be the two tight ends in the game. Now, I know he says he wants to be a receiver or he wants to be a tight end. But those two guys.
It's kind of like a hybrid to me.
Well, that's what, you know, hybrid, right? That's all, you know, that's the day.
Because I remember.
We have a guy like that on this
I remember
team.
I was in Indianapolis for the combine, and it's just like he ran the 40, and then I don't remember his 40 time, but it was kind of like, well, he's pretty slow for a wide receiver, but he's damn fast for a tight end.
Exactly. And
so, you know,
I
think it's a really intriguing player this year, especially in fantasy football. Mm-hmm. Let's go to line two. We have Abdul calling in from Minnesota. Abdul, welcome. Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. I have a couple of comments and a question, so just bear with me.
Okay.
First comment is that I'm really, really confused on Coughlin's assessment on Kuntz's performance so far. It seems
who's,
like he's watching
performance?
A different tape Kuhn, than Kuhn. Everyone else.
It just,
I'm
Marcus
really confused
Kuhn.
About that.
Mm-hmm.
And my second comment is I'm kind of nervous about this weekend's game against the Jets after watching RG3 getting just beaten by Detroit. And, you know, our offensive line is kind of questionable right now. And if things start going south, I hope we pull Eli as fast as possible.
Well,
and not, you know – sorry, go ahead.
All right, so really quick in regard to RG3, you know, there's been some comments out there in regard to Jay Gruden and calling the plays that he did play for RG3 with that very suspect offensive line. So so to answer that, I don't see Ben McAdoo and the Giants putting Eli Manning in harm's way. So I don't think you can take that situation with RG3 and equate it to what the Giants do here. I think it's night and
day. Good. And also with Beeson, you know, I was watching that game the other night. He sprained his knee simply covering a back coming out of the backfield. It wasn't like he was hit or rolled up on. He was just running, and he sprained his knee. So that doesn't really, you know, give me a lot of confidence that he's going to last long this season. If he's just spraining his knee covering a back coming out of the backfield, and, you know, with that contact, he seems like the guy is just snake bit. You know, he just makes me nervous about the depth and, you know, his coming season, because that's a simple play. He shouldn't be getting hurt on that. You know what I mean?
Well, think of it like this. You know how baseball players, they kind of stand around out in the field the whole game. They're hanging out, and all of a sudden you're playing center field and the ball's hit to you know, left center, and you got to sprint back to get to it, and you pull a hamstring.
Sure.
Or the guy that runs down the first baseline, he gets to first base and he pulled a hamstring. It's you have to kind of get conditioned to do things, and you're going to have to get some bruises and bumps as you go. His big concern his entire time has been his foot, being able to place his foot on the ground with full force and turn. The tweaking of the knee, he can bounce back from. The foot thing, I don't think you really, you know, it's hard to play football.
So this could be just kind of growing pains, his body getting used to it.
Yeah, his body's getting used to going full speed again, because I saw him, you know, cover back out of the backfield, and he was rolling. I mean, that's probably the fastest he's run in like 3 years.
Yep. Okay, and my last kind of question is, it's about Jerry Reese. And, I've been kind of not the biggest fan. And my question is his inability to build a consistent winner with an elite QB like Eli, like the Ravens build and the Patriots are and Green Bay are, you know, it seems like with Reese, it's either we get really lucky and we win a Super Bowl, and even those teams aren't great teams. We just get really lucky and we win Super Bowls. But after that, we have years of drought and then win again and then years of drought. It's never consistent. Is that more commentary on his lack of GM skill, or is that more commentary on, like, the parity in the NFL, you know, how this each team, you know? But it seems like with a QB, you know, like the Ravens do it with Flacco, Patriots do it with Brady. You know, when you have a good QB, you think you'd have a chance to be more consistent. And it seems like Reese just doesn't do that. You know, it's huge droughts of – and it's like we're wasting time. We're wasting Eli's talent. And I think the past 4 years have been one big waste of a great QB. And I'm just getting a little concerned and frustrated with the lack of his consistency building a team. And I'm just wondering, is it parity or is it him?
I think that a lot of fans sound like you. A lot of fans say that, you know, Jerry Reese is having a hard time building a team. I think a lot of fans are complaining about you know, the lack of playoff performances and everything. And I kind of giggle, you know. Like, and the reason why I giggle is because you have a guy who just won two Super Bowls. And in this league right now, there are teams that may have visited Super Bowl twice, but there's no teams that have won the Super Bowl twice. And I think that that's probably the thing that people are overlooking. You get a couple guys in. If you win the Super Bowl, you get the lowest rank of draft picks, and you have to figure your way out through that. Just making the playoffs every year keeps you in this in the middle of the draft, and you don't really get the greatest player every time. Are you thinking you're hoping you're getting the greatest player for that position? You have to be really, really bad, like the San Francisco 49ers were for years, to get a draft that holds all those first-round picks at linebacker and offensive line. You have to be really, really bad, like the Cincinnati Bengals have been for a long, were for a long, long time, to get a lot of high draft picks to build the bases of your team. Outside of that, it's just like, hey, look, I'm going to pick a few guys. This guy's the best guy for this position, or the best guy that's on the board. And you got to hope that these guys work out for you as you're going along. You can scout them and scout them and scout them, but you don't know what they're going to be until they get here.
201-939-4513. Let's look at Twitter really quick. Again, this is from easy_BKNY. What's going on with our nickel cornerback spot now that Bennett Jackson is done and McBride isn't consistent? Who is next in line for the third cornerback position?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, you got a lot of guys that could be next in line. Outside of McBride, you got my boy from that was from Rutgers. You got him. You have – who's the other guy I'm thinking of? You got, like, three guys. You got Hosley is who I'm thinking about first. You have – Hosley's from Virginia Tech, sorry. J-Ron Hosley was from Virginia Tech.
I think it's going to be McBride. I really do.
It's got to be one other guy. I just can't place him right now. Jones could be the guy because he's playing pretty well out there on the edge right now.
I think they wanted it to be Bennett Jackson, but you know, again, unfortunately, but
again, you got Prince Mukamara, who's playing opposite right now of my man Kamara. Who's playing opposite of him right now?
What, Prince and DRC?
Yeah. Who's playing opposite of DRC right now? Cooper. Not Cooper.
Hosley.
He's not on the field right now. Who's the guy that's on the field right now? That's who's probably going to be your guy. That's the guy I think is going to be in there. It's not going to be – it's Brown, I believe. I think it's Brown, as long as he's healthy or something, he can be on the field or somebody like that. Whoever's playing the opposite corner right now, the guy that's on the field who's getting the reps today – is going to be the guy who's going to eventually slide down to that slot receiver.
Let's go to line three. Bradley's calling in. He wants to talk about the running backs. Bradley?
I don't really want to talk about running backs, but good evening. My name is Bradley Rivers. I'm from the U. That's Utah.
okay.
So I'm kind of disappointed that we didn't get DeMarco Murray. I think that we had a real chance of getting him, and I don't know. Like, we have so much depth at wide receiver that we could trade him. Like, come on, guys.
You're a big DeMarco Murray fan, then, but because I mean, I like DeMarco Murray too, but it's a lot like.
I think he's the best running back in the game today.
I think that he had the best offensive line in the game today. I think that.
Nah, they're trash.
I think you're kind of misplacing talent with. You know, with the ability of the running back, you're going to see DeMarco Murray have a steep decline in his production, not just, you know.
I think that the Eagles have a top five offensive line.
Okay. We will see. I hope for your sake that you're right, but I just don't see it happening.
Okay. And one more point I got here is that I don't really know what that guy was talking about, James Jones. I think I wasn't listening to the past shows. But James Jones, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, he was a pretty good receiver for the Green
Bay
Packers.
Thanks for the phone call, Bradley. Yeah, he was a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. I want to say he was like third wide receiver for the Packers. You're talking about Cheeky Brown.
Yeah,
Shockey, who went to Texas.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the guy who may slide down. He is 5'11", so he's not too tall. He's able to, you know, slide down at that position. He's got 5 years experience. That's kind of the guy I'm thinking is going to be there.
Let's go line four. Christian, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, well, I was originally calling about Eli today, but, you know, I really can't stand when people want to criticize the GM because, number one, would they be as good at it? And, number two, if you want to look at how good Jerry Reese really is, think of all the under-the-radar guys that he signs on the cheap that actually play well. Or at least serviceable. I mean, and then if you want to look at draft classes, you could probably talk about his two weakest draft classes being right after Super Bowl wins when you're not picking as high. And, you know, if you want to look at his late-round draft picks, he finds good football players. I mean, he finds guys that just really want to play. And, I mean, I have a hard time buying it when people who don't even have, like, a career in football right now want to criticize a general manager. I mean, that is not an easy job. And I honestly think Jerry Reese does a great job, and I think he has a good scout team.
Well, yeah, I think Jerry's doing a good job, too. Again, I would say to anyone who's complaining, you should, you know, maybe be a Jets fan or maybe or a Cincinnati Bengals fan, or maybe you should be, you know, Arizona Cardinals fan, all teams that are, you know, had great defenses and great offenses and great quarterbacks at one point in time, but nobody has a Super Bowl yet. I think that that's kind of the thing at the end of the day that we're really looking at. In the last 10 years, he's gotten two Super Bowls. You got to think about that, and you got to take that into account. If you can't take that into account, if you're unhappy with the two Super Bowls, then you should think about the franchises that don't have any.
201-939-4513. Anita Marks and, of course, Howard Cross here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hashtag Giants Chat. Again, here at the facility, 2:30 is practice this afternoon. Head coach Tom Coughlin, the players, have already addressed the media earlier today. Those interviews will be up on Giants.com a little bit later on this afternoon, so make sure you check that out. Let's go to John, calling in from Washington State. John, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
I like
the energy, John.
I
like the
too.
Energy.
Yeah, it's going to be a good year, that's for sure.
I like it.
Yeah.
So, what can we do for you?
What's your question? What's your question for us, John?
It's a statement.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, go
we're
ahead.
Here, John. We're waiting on you.
Oh, okay. I'd like to talk about, what was it? Caller about DeMarco Murray. That's what it was.
There you go.
I don't agree with what he's saying there.
What don't you agree with?
He thinks we should have got DeMarco Murray in the offseason. No way.
Yeah, I mean, and John, thanks for calling in from Washington State.
The DeMarco Murray thing is a funny thing.
There's a lot of depth at this running back position.
If you took all the running backs and got rid of them, you started over, you don't start with DeMarco Murray. You just don't. I mean, he's a good back, and I like him, but he played behind. I mean, if he can dodge the first guy coming at him out in the backfield, then okay. That's where I look at it. I mean, if you want to say you pick up my boy McCoy.
LeSean McCoy?
Yeah. Then I'm like, okay, well, that's a big difference, but you don't just get guys.
Let me ask you this. You know, because that Dallas Cowboys offensive line is so good, some mm-hmm. say the best offensive line in the NFL, I kind of feel like, you know what, they're rolling with Joseph Randall and Darren McFadden. It's not like they went out and tried to bring anybody else in. Is that kind of an arrogant swagger they have in regard to that offensive line, saying like, "Hey, we're gonna put anyone back there because you know the holes are gonna be tremendous. Anybody's gonna have success behind this offensive line."
I think they are, you know, underestimated how good Murray was for them. You know, a guy that carries the ball over 300 times in a season, that's big. Then you're getting two guys in, one guy that hadn't really finished the season because he's always banged up, and another guy, and you're thinking you're gonna get, you know, the 1,800 yards of production from those three guys, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be the same thing that it was before. I mean, Murray didn't have a lot of really tough running over guy runs, but at the end of the game, you could count on him.
Let's go to line three. Rick's calling in from Florida. Rick, welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey, all right. Okay, Washington down here. Now, obviously, the Winston craze down here overshadows everything, but I always watch Giants and listen to you guys.
So are you calling in from the Tampa area?
Yeah, I'm just sitting by my pool as kids went back to school today and relaxing.
Okay.
Nice. Listening to you and having my concerns as well with the Giants. The injuries, it seems like every year it's the same thing with the Giants, injury after injury. But I'm looking at the offensive line, and they really did not address it too much, I don't think, in a good enough way off season. But if you're looking at the left tackle, we got the rookie. We have Richburg as center, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Pugh will be the left guard, correct?
Right.
Is that what you're seeing? So now we got two spots on the right.
I think Swartz is going to take over that right guard spot.
He'll be held. Yeah. Fingers crossed that he'll make it through a game or two. But, yeah, if he does, we have a chance for some continuity on the offensive line going forward into the season. And right guard will be who?
Schwartz.
You think?
Schwartz.
Schwartz, and then right tackle would be?
Newhouse right now.
Right now, I'd say it would be Newhouse.
Those two, you think, will make – because if they could keep that for the next two preseason games, they have a good chance because they did protect better for Eli. So like, I'm like, encouraged about that. Now, I'm in SEC country down here, and I had one of my good clients of mine came in my store who's an Alabama Roll Tide all the way.
Roll Tide.
And he was upset. Yeah, I know you, Roll Tide. And I like Bama. And Gator fan, but I like Bama. He was upset at draft time that his guy, Landon, didn't go farther. And he talks about him as an amazing player. So I got real excited that we have him as a safety. I'm really hoping that he's going to have a great season. And from what I hear from this guy, from the Alabama guys, that this guy is something special. And I'm thinking that because of these injuries, and hopefully his injury will get him out there, that he's going to be playing and is going to have a good season. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, you know, being an Alabama guy, you know, I think Landon Collins is a phenomenal talent. I think he was probably a top 10 or 15 pick, and the Giants got lucky in getting him in the second day.
Why do you think he fell?
I think because a lot of teams didn't draft the way everyone predicted. They drafted more out of necessity instead of, you know, the old MO for drafting was draft the best player on the board, he'll work out for us. The new MO has been, I need a tackle, I'm getting a tackle. I need a receiver, I'm taking a receiver. And that's what teams are doing. You know, think about Chicago drafting a receiver that high, the kid that's kind of really unproven from West Virginia in White. You're starting to wonder, like, how good could this kid really be? He ran a great 40, but he really hasn't proven anything. And you drafted him over drafting all these other good players at every position that you just did. And teams are starting to look at, hey, look, I need to win now. I got to draft the guy I need in that position today instead of saying I'm just going to take the best player on the board.
Let me ask you something, just going back to the offensive line question that he posed to you. So if the regular season game one against the Dallas Cowboys was to start tomorrow, okay, chances are it would be Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Schwartz, and Newhouse, okay? But there you can also take Pugh, put him back at right tackle, and put John Jerry at the left guard position. Now, is there something about starting to develop the left side of the line and building the chemistry behind Flowers and Pugh and Richburg moving forward? Is that why you feel that that's not really a big option or something the Giants really want to do with Pugh because they're working on building that chemistry there?
I think it's more of it. If you look at the offensive line, so let's move Pugh from left guard to right tackle. Mm-hmm. Bring John Jerry here. Still keep Schwartz. Now you've moved two pieces. When you move two pieces, you have three-quarters of your line kind of set. I mean, three-fifths of the line kind of set, and you've moved two pieces. There's not that continuity. Then all of a sudden, you know, late October, early November, all of a sudden you got Beattie back. Now people start to shift again. So what you're trying to do for the first few months that you have the thing, you want to keep as much of the line intact as possible. So you go Flowers, you go Pugh, you go Riceburg, you go Schwartz, and then you put the next guy in, the next best guy that you think can do this job over here. You put him here. This is not the big pass rush side. This is if we get two big bodies here, we can run the ball to the right. We can definitely protect in the passing game to the left, and we'll figure it out because, you know, eventually Flowers will drift back over to the right side, and Beattie will take on the left side if he's healthy enough to do it. So you're trying to move as few pieces as possible to create continuity and keep it in place. Fans will, you know, second guess and try to think of what to do. If it's me, I want to have as much of this constructed as possible. I don't want to have to keep, you know, reconfiguring it as the season goes on, because guys get used to other guys. They get used to where you're putting your size 16 foot when we're double teaming on the block. We're getting used to where you're going to be when I pull. I know where Eli is going to be when I pull to the right, or if I'm on the other side, I pull to the left. These things are important to guys, and the center needs these two guys and knows what they're saying. you know, if you're looking at the front from the left guard, if you're looking at it from the right guard, the center is dependent on you when he's taking the shotgun snap because he's looking between his legs.
Right.
So all those things are all that's important. And you can't, you know, and I'm not saying that Jerry's not a good player. I'm not saying Jerry is better or less than somebody else. But I think if you keep it the way it is now, they're intact. Jerry can fit in at either guard if something goes wrong. If you keep it the way it is now and Newhouse is outside, if you had to put Schwartz outside at right tackle, he may be the best right tackle you have, but then you need another right guard. Right now you have four of the five guys in place. You're looking for the fifth guy.
201-939-4513. In the meantime, let's look at some tweets. This is from, again, Easy. Is Jerry better at pass blocking than run blocking? Then why not make him a tackle and have a young backup Schwartz at right guard?
I mean, better at run blocking than pass blocking? I mean, at guard, it's the toughest thing to do if you get a big D tackle that can actually put some moves on you. And we had some problems up the middle last year protecting Eli. If you put him out at right tackle, again, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I keep looking for the weak spot. I keep looking for the guy that we can get after. I keep saying, okay, J.J. Watt, all right, go over to center. No, that didn't work. Okay, go over to left tackle. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, go over to right tackle. We keep, you know, throwing rocks against the wall, trying to see where the hole is, and then you go after it. So I'm not saying Jerry's a bad player. I'm just saying that right now you got four of the five guys. Maybe Jerry can play right tackle. I don't know if he's ever played right tackle for any length of time, but you know that the four guys you got are ready. So Newhouse's guy, I'm looking at right tackle because he's doing the best job right now.
What about Bobby Hart? Somebody wants to know, what's your thoughts on Bobby Hart?
I haven't seen him enough to know. I'm going to be sitting through practice for the rest of the week to see him on a day-to-day basis, just seeing him in preseason games against, you know, there's still talented kids that are in late in the game, but, you know, I want to see him against some you know, better competition, see where he is and how he's going to do things.
This is from Javon. Mr. Cross mentioned Darkwa Vision yesterday, which I mentioned last week. I like Darkwa over Williams. What do you say?
No. I think Darkwa is a great compliment, and he's one of those kind of scat guys. He's kind of like Vereen a little bit, but he's going to play more special teams. I think Williams is a big, powerful runner, and what you saw in the last preseason game was he didn't just bury his head and run into the pile. He actually took a step to the side, saw the hole, and ran through it. That's the kind of thing that you're worried about. Because that guy is in the open field. Nobody wants to tackle him. He's like a rolling ball of butcher knives. He is huge.
A rolling ball of butcher knives.
No one's no safety's running up and throwing their head and shoulder down at him. They're like, okay, somebody grab him, please.
This is from Judith. She says, love that you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Bring some good change to the program.
Good change.
So, Judith. I
see if I got any change in my pocket.
So, Judith is thrilled that you're on. All right, let's close with Kevin from Maryland. So Kevin, let's end it strong. What do you have for us today?
Positive, Kevin. Come on, help me.
I was just wondering, you know, we've seen the offense, you know, struggling early in the preseason so far. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how much of that has to do with just, you know, trying out a certain formation or a certain few couple of plays that maybe McAdoo and Coughlin are trying to see how they're working, and they're just not working, and how much of it is, you know, just not communicating.
I think it's mostly due to we don't have everybody on the field that's going to be on the field or that we hope to be on the field when the game starts in Dallas. I think that's the biggest part of it. And what I mean by that, there is no Victor Cruz, ODB, Larry Donnell, there's not the full complement and the guy playing right tackle. They're not all out there at the same time taking the same calls and going. Right now you have ODBs out there. So let's have all the defense focus on him so we make sure he doesn't beat us in preseason. If Victor Cruz is out there, let's have the whole defense focus. You need all guys out there. You need to be full strength in order to pull this off. It's not as easy as people would have you to believe. And bringing in guys and hoping the guys come in like, hey, look, you know, I hope Jones is a good player. I hope he can play. I hope that, you know, that Harris can come in and make some plays. I hope that Washington comes in and makes some plays. That's all great for hope. What you really hope is ODB, Cruz, Donnell, Reuben Randall. That's what you hope. You hope to see those guys on the field all at the same time because those are the guys that you're paying the money to and those are the guys that you're expecting to make your big plays. We're talking about those four guys. We're talking about maybe 70, 80 catches. We're talking about 70, 80 catches. We're talking about 60 to 70 catches. We're talking about 70 to 80 catches, maybe 80 to 90 catches. That's a lot of catches right there. Yep. And that's what people are looking for.
All right. Well, fantastic. Fun show with you. You're back tomorrow with?
I don't know. I'm just here. I'm the shuffle.
You're the common denominator.
I'm the stepchild. I just come in.
But you are the common denominator this week. I'm back with you on Thursday, but Howard Cross will be back on tomorrow with Big Blue Kickoff Live. As I said, later on this afternoon, make sure you tune in to Giants. What did you say?
Maybe Paul DeDino.
Maybe. Tune in to Giants.com so you can listen to all the media comments that a number of the players had made earlier this afternoon. And also, later on, you've got the MSG show. Now, are you doing the MSG show as well?
I'm doing the MSG
show.
It's
you. I mean, you're big time today.
I'm just, you know, whatever they ask me to do, I'm just a poor man trying to make it.
So, Giants Training Camp Live coming to your way on MSG later on this afternoon as well. So, make sure you tune into that. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
All right, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Yeah, he's got through. 35, 30.